there is more than two genders. Even though in our society the genders that are most recognized are male and female, and usually is based on someone's anatomy, this, however, is gender assignment. And it is based on an assumption that one's anatomy matches their gender. However, gender isn't about someone's anatomy, it's about who they believe themselves to be. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do ask that you would be our guide here tonight, Lord, as we look at yet another issue that is in our world today. Again, it's nothing really new to you. Might be have a different name now, but Lord, it doesn't surprise you, and you do desire that we respond to it in a proper way, that we have a biblical view, your view of this topic, Lord, so that we do respond to it in a proper way. Just ask that you would be our guide and our teacher here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, tonight brings us probably one of our most confusing topics. And the reason I call it confusing is not because it's difficult to understand, but because the world is really, really in the 1990s. It's coming. It'll come.
I'm a girl. Could have just as easily been a boy, though, because the probability of becoming a girl is always 1 in 2. See, inside each of our cells are these things called chromosomes, and they control whether we become a boy or a girl. Your mom has 2X chromosomes in all of her cells, and your dad has 1X and 1Y chromosome in each of his cells. Before you're born, your mom gives you one of her chromosomes, and your dad gives you one of his. Mom always gives you an X. And if dad gives you an X too, then you become a girl. But if he gives you his Y, then you become a boy. See, there are only two possibilities. X, X. A girl, or XY, a boy. The chance of becoming either a boy or a girl is always 1 in 2. A 50-50 chance either way. It's like flipping a coin. Mm-hmm. X, you're a girl. Y, you're a boy. Some people are just lucky, I guess.
I don't know what that is. You can stop it, though. All right. So that is what Bill Nye, the science guy, had to say about gender in the 1990s. Male or female, it is one of those things that it's very clear. It's an either or thing. And that is how the Bible addresses it too. That is how science used to address it. But in our world today, it's been made literally into a virtual buffet. And I'm in a big buffet, okay? Now, normally I like buffets, but I have found that the bigger the buffet, the more confusing it gets, right? You got more choices. Anyway, that's really what is happening in our world today concerning gender. What is should be a really, really simple topic has become incredibly confused in our world, and therefore it is a contemporary issue and an issue in which a godly view and a godly response matters a lot. Quite frankly, because this topic is so confusing, I actually had a real difficult time trying to decide how to start it, okay? So I think probably the safest place to start is with a passage of Scripture, just to give us a base to start from. And this is a passage we've looked at before, but Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, we looked at it when we talked about marriage. I think we even looked at it when we talked about sexual perversion, and we're looking at it tonight. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, and this is Jesus talking to the Jewish leaders. They're trying to trap him, and actually he's talking about marriage and divorce. But I'm just going to read one statement here. He answered and said to them, Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And again, this passage is actually about marriage, but it is Jesus speaking. He's quoting from the Old Testament book of Genesis. But what are the two genders? Male and female, okay. Now, what would you say to someone who then said, okay, even Jesus said that in the beginning, God made them male and female, but maybe that has changed. How might you answer a person like that? Okay, show me where it says that, Joe. Okay, see if there's any indications in Scripture. And that's kind of my point here. What was Jesus quoting? The very first book of the Bible. And here we are now 4,000 years later, and Jesus is saying, it's still that way. Okay? It hasn't changed. Jesus, some 4,000 years after God said he made them male and female, didn't see it any different than God did in the beginning. In fact, the gender buffet is actually a rather new idea. Yes, some men have acted like women and some women like men, even since before the flood, I'm sure. But gender identity, that terminology, is actually very, very new. In my 2005 edition of the Oxford Dictionary, this is how gender is defined. And it gives it a strict biological definition. Here it is. Gender is defined as the fact of being male or female, the end. That's the definition of human biological gender. That was 2005. In 2020, the same dictionary, Oxford, defines gender as the fact of being male or female, but then they added this, especially when considered with reference to social and cultural differences, not differences in biology. Okay, that's their definition, changed in 15 years, all right? Biology, they're saying, so they define that, how do they... They're saying that a person identifies, okay, their gender, not biology, is how they basically defined it. Biology doesn't matter in the new definition. Wikipedia defines gender as the range of characteristics pertaining to and between femininity and masculinity, depending upon the context these characteristics may include biological sex, sex-based social structures, and gender identity. So gender is now defined as a range of characteristics. And again, it's like a virtual buffet. And these examples only represent a 15-year difference. But my guess is that the change in definition might even be newer than 15 years, okay? After all, the word racism was actually just redefined this year. That word changed. So gender identity is very new terminology, but from the beginning, through the time of Jesus, through the year 2005, gender was defined as the fact of being male or female. Therefore, Scripture does not in any place attempt to defend that there are only two genders. Okay? It's a preconceived notion and is always assumed as factual, very much like God's existence. There's no place in the Bible that the Bible actually tries to prove that God exists. It just is. It's assumed. It's a preconceived notion of Scripture. And that's how truth operates. Okay? There is no real reason to defend it. It defends itself. That's how truth works. I don't need to prove to you that gravity is real. Right? It just works. All right, now here's how Bill Nye defines gender now. And I got a second video clip, and this is probably from within the last 5 years, and he does make one somewhat crude remark in it, but it's safe. Go ahead.
One thing's clear about sexuality. There's a lot more going on than meets the eye. Female or male, gay or straight, pink or blue. We were taught to see these as binary. Now we're realizing it's more like a kaleidoscope.
And this stuff isn't just for adults. Parents know this already. Kids explore gender, expression, attraction before they've ever heard of a spectrum.
Take sex. We used to think it was pretty straightforward. X and a Y chromosome for males, two X's for females. But we see more combinations than that in real life. And even for people with just two sex chromosomes, hormones can vary wildly. So can anatomy. What makes someone male or female isn't so clear-cut. How about attraction? Some people argue the natural thing is to only be attracted to the opposite sex. But in practice, it ain't so simple, kids. Some people are gay, some are bi, some are asexual, and some will take whatever they can get. You know what I mean? It's another sexy sliding scale. When you throw in gender, it gets even more colorful.
By 3 or 4, most kids identify with a gender, and it doesn't always match the sex they were assigned at birth. And a person's gender identity may change over their lifetime.
And culture is getting us new ways to express all of this. How you dress, how you act, talk, how you present yourself to the world. It should be up to you. Sure, this might make things confusing for those who insist everyone pick an M or an F. But people, we have to listen to the science. And the science says we're all on a spectrum. Our labels, our fashion, even our washrooms are still catching up to that truth. I think you'll find when we look at sexuality this way, it is more complicated, but it's also a lot more honest. And it's more interesting. I learned a lot tonight. I mean, I'm this cis male guy who's been living in this world. But this stuff, to me, from a scientific standpoint, is just cool. Science is the process by which we understand nature, by which we understand our place in the world, how we all fit in. And so every one of these insights is just so exciting for me. We, working together, can, dare I say it, save the world. So everybody, that's our show. One thing's clear about sexuality.
All right. He talked a lot about science. Did chromosomes change?
No.
They didn't. Did the facts about chromosomes change? So what is this new knowledge, this new science that we've learned that makes gender different? He actually touched on, well, you and I would not know it to be a science, but he did mention it. Cultural. Anything else come to mind?
Attractiveness.
You know, the science actually has not changed. What has changed is man's basis, okay? Gender has changed from fact to feeling. Feeling is now the basis. And so the worldly view of gender is based in feeling. That's what it is, emotion. And we should not underestimate the power of emotion. Emotions are powerful, aren't they? Emotions are powerful, powerful enough to sway one's opinion even away from the facts and the truth. And we're seeing it in our world right now concerning gender. Here's a scenario just to give you an example of how emotion can sway one from the facts. Imagine you see two people together. One is crying, the other is angry. Who are you going to console? Who's the victim? Crying? Are they? Maybe not. That's just it. That's the power of emotion. We're immediately going to go to the one that's crying, thinking they're the victim, but we don't know that. We don't know that for sure. So emotions can completely get us off target concerning the facts. That's the power of emotion. But they can also be dead wrong. Emotions can be dead wrong. They don't determine facts. The victim could have just as easily been the angry person. Facts need to be the basis of everything, not feelings. But today, the worldly view of gender is based on feelings. Listen to this statement from a website. This is geared toward teens. It's called Teen Talk. But this is the opening line of an article on that website. Gender identity is how a person feels. There you go. Gender identity is how a person feels and who they know themselves to be when it comes to their gender. They continue. There is more than two genders. Even though in our society the genders that are most recognized are male and female and usually is based on someone's anatomy, this, however, is gender assignment. And it is based on an assumption that one's anatomy matches their gender. However, gender isn't about someone's anatomy, it's about who they believe themselves to be. There are many different gender identities, including male, female, transgender, gender neutral, non-binary, agender, pangender, genderqueer, two-spirit, third gender, all gender, no gender, or a combination of any of these. It's a buffet. They don't say that. I'm saying that about their article. Some have called it a spectrum. I think that's what Bill Nye called it, a spectrum. But even that can be too confining. The article continues, it says, there are many more gender identities than we've listed. Gender can be complex, and people are defining themselves in new and different ways as we gain a deeper understanding of identities. They end the article pretty much the same way they started it, by saying, it is always up to us to decide how we feel and how we express our gender. Gender identity, again, it's how a person feels. And so the internet is full of videos and testimonials of people in tears because they have the anatomy of one gender but want or feel more like the other. And the world has fallen prey to their tears. The world's view of gender is based entirely on feelings. And so the worldly response is to deny reality. The worldly response then is to not deny reality. Even though they know the truth, even though the facts are overwhelming, they will choose the path of feelings and completely suppress and deny reality. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 again. And I know this is a passage we've read numerous times through this study, but I want to begin in verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." All right, here's one more video I have for you that very clearly shows where we've come in regards to foolishness. There we go.
There's been a lot of talk about identity lately, but how far does it go? And is it possible to be wrong? We went to the University of Washington to find out.
Are you aware of the debate happening in Washington State around the ability to access bathrooms, locker rooms, spas based on gender identity and gender expression?
I think people should be able to have access to the facility.
I think bathrooms could and potentially should be gender neutral because there doesn't need to be a classification for differences.
I think people definitely should have the ability to go into whichever locker room they want.
I feel like at least public universities should do their best to accommodate for those who do not have a specific gender identity.
You know, whether you identify as male or female and whether your sex at birth is matching to that, you should be able to utilize the resources.
So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I'd say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions. Just because on the outside, I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean, it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out of my way and tell you, no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
So if I wanted to enroll in a first grade class, do you think I should be allowed to?
Probably not, I guess. I mean, unless you haven't completed first grade up to this point and for some reason need to do that now.
If that's where you feel like mentally you should be, then I feel like there are communities that would accept you for that.
I would say so long as you're not hindering society and you're not causing harm to other people, I feel like that should be an okay thing.
If I told you I'm 6 feet, 5 inches, what would you say?
question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6'5".
If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
No, I mean, I wouldn't just go like, oh, you're wrong. Like, that's wrong to believe in it. Because, I mean, again, it doesn't really bother me what you want to think about your height or anything.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
You. Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
If you thoroughly debated me or explained why you felt that you were 6'5", I feel like I would be very open to saying that you were 6'5" or Chinese or a woman.
It shouldn't be hard to tell a 5'9 white guy that he's not a 6'5 Chinese woman. But clearly it is. Why? What does that say about our culture? And what does that say about our ability to answer the questions that actually are difficult?
As disturbing as this video is, it shouldn't surprise us. These are the same people from Romans 1 who suppress the truth of God and unrighteousness. So sadly, they, the world, how many times did you hear the word feeling in that video? If you feel that way. The world, first of all, under the response is the world accepts feelings over fact. And that is just foolishness. Foolishness. It doesn't matter what the factual evidence is. Just let me believe what I want to believe. Let me turn a blind eye to the facts that are standing right in front of me. And again, the world accepts facts over the feelings. And then the world, of course, redefines gender. Male, female, transgender, gender neutral, non-binary, agender, cisgender, pangender, genderqueer, two-spirit, third gender, all gender, no gender, a combination of any of these. In fact, Healthline.com gives a list of about 64 different gender possibilities, and then says that their list is not exhaustive. Okay, so the world redefines gender, and then the world tries to change the facts. And this might be the absolute saddest part of all of this, is because some of these people have become so convinced that their feelings are right, that they try to make the facts match their feelings, and they have gender reassignment surgery. They have their sex organs surgically changed to the other gender. They take hormones or testosterone to try to change their chemical and physical makeup. Another evidence of this being emotionally based is in the fact that when a person who has transitioned from one sex into another and then detransitions, in other words, they go back to their sex of origin, and there are a lot of them that are doing that now. But when they do that, the transgender world gets very, very angry with them. There are many videos online of people who detransitioned, and they are literally hated by the transgender community right now. Oftentimes, they are silenced. Transition surgery and therapy is actually fairly new. I know they've had. Types of it around for a while, but the actual surgery coupled with therapy is very new. Most of those who have had some kind of transition done, most of the people out there today have had it done within the past 20 years. And already, upwards of 10% are detransitioning. They're going back. They're realizing they made a mistake. The suicide rate among those, who have transitioned is astronomically higher than the norm. In fact, get this, this is one statistic that I had to, you had to dig for some of these things, okay? But one statistic that I found stated that one in every three teenagers, one in every three teenagers who have transitioned have also attempted suicide. One in every three, 33%. And that is during a time when it is more accepted than it ever has been, embraced, celebrated even. But you won't hear about that unless you go digging for it. Mindy? Is that right?
That's
okay.
Next year for all of Nevada.
Wow.
Starting okay. All through kindergarten.
So gender-neutral bathrooms for
yeah.
Nevada.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll go more into the other thing if I have a feeling you're going to go into another subject.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm actually going on to the biblical aspects. So if you had.
They're also they passed it for sex ed not to be called sex ed anymore for parents to sign off on it. So starting next year, kindergartners will start to have health class. And so kindergarten up is going to have health class. And it's going to start teaching them and grooming them for
okay.
this.
Okay.
And STEM, fifth graders will start doing role playing.
All right, so
it's already for next year.
Health education, including what we're talking about here for kindergartners.
It's not called sex ed anymore.
Okay.
It's called health class, and so parents don't need to even know about it.
Oh, okay. And then fifth graders do role playing.
Yeah.
It's a scary world out there when you see what's going on. And I got to tell you, my heart breaks. My heart, in fact, Focus on the Family recently did a video on this gender issue, but they interviewed several people that transitioned and then detransitioned, kind of gives their story. Look it up if you get a chance. It was heartbreaking, but educational. So here we are. The world doing what they're doing, and it's destroying people. So we've seen the worldly view, we've seen the worldly response. So now the biblical view of gender. The biblical view of gender is based in fact. It's just that simple. It's based in truth. Anybody know what a kit car is? My dad used to do a little bit of mechanicking and body work, and he would occasionally do a kit car, and we kind of ran in circles of people that did kit cars. But what a kit car is, typically the base of it is a Volkswagen Beetle, and they will take the body of the Beetle off and put like the what looks like the frame of a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or some classic car on that Volkswagen Beetle. And the thing about these kit cars is while they may have looked different on the outside, it's still just a Volkswagen Beetle on the inside. And you would know that as soon as you got into that Lamborghini and stepped on the gas pedal and nothing happened, right? Well, while one may be able to change what they look like on the outside, the fact is, a man will always have the XY chromosomes. He will have the DNA. He will have the bone structure, the muscle structure of a man, Okay, and a woman will of a woman, because that is how God designed them. But the world will accept feelings over fact. It will try to redefine what gender is. It will try to change the facts. And once again, like with every one of these issues, it is all driven by sin. Let's go to a passage in Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. And you've heard this verse before, I'll bet. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So looking at that verse, what does the heart refer to typically in Scripture? Our innermost being, okay? Oftentimes, even our feelings, all right? Is the heart good or wicked by nature?
Wicked.
Okay, wicked according to the passage. How deceptive is it? Okay, deceptive above all. Yeah, it even tricks us. So deceptive that we might even believe in our innermost being that if we change the outside, we'll be changed on the inside. Jesus actually condemned the Pharisees for trying to convince people that we, the Pharisees, were good on the inside because of how good we look at on the outside. Do anybody remember what Jesus called them? Whitewashed sepulchers, whitewashed tombs. What's in on the inside of a sepulcher, a tomb? Dead, decaying bodies. And then they slap a coat of paint on it to make it look good. Well, that's what, in fact, Paul addressed a similar issue in 2 Timothy. Let's go ahead and turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This verse can actually apply to a lot of things, and Paul does have something specific in mind, but we're going to apply it to what we're looking at tonight. But it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." So here we are. I guess, just look at this verse for a minute. What is it telling us? What are some of the things this verse is telling us? What was that? Okay, and what is sound doctrine? Okay, the truth. We don't want to listen to the truth. So what do we do so we don't have to listen to the truth? Create your own. Find some people that will tell me what I want to hear. And that concerning this topic of gender, that is rampant right now. People telling others what they want to hear. And again, this verse can apply to a lot of things in which man uses feelings to override facts. But no matter how bad we want to be a Ferrari, no matter how much we believe we are a Ferrari, no matter how many other people we convince that we're a Ferrari, even if Bill Nye the Science Guy believes we're a Ferrari, we're still just a Beetle. We're still just the Beetle. Feelings can't change facts. And that is why we're talking about this topic. God says there is only two genders. In Genesis 5:2, he created them, male and female. blessed them, and called them mankind. That is in the day that they were created. So God says there are only two genders. Jesus said there are only two genders. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, Jesus said. There are no passages of Scripture whatsoever that identify anything other than male and female. Natural law says there are only two genders. Women have two X chromosomes, men have an X and a Y. Bill Nye used to say there are only two genders, but his heart has deceived him. Now, yes, some women have some rather masculine characteristics. That's not uncommon. Some men have feminine characteristics, but God created men with XY chromosomes. The structure of a man, the building blocks of men, he created women with XX chromosomes, the building blocks of women. And yes, there are rare instances in which building blocks get mixed up and a baby might be born with a female or male organ that contradicts the chromosomes, but it is the chromosome that determines. That's what the rest of the build is. Gender swapping is a sin. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, and this is actually quite a list here of different, I guess you could say, laws, all right, commands. But look at verse 5. It says this: "A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God." Now, this is a seemingly general command, but there is a context to it. In fact, it comes within a list of quite a few varying, very varied commands. But all of the commands in this list have to do with our heart, okay? They have to do with our heart motives. One of them concerns the treatment of animals. Some of them concern the treatment of people. And God wanting in us a heart that will do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And so the abomination here is not so much about mere clothing on one's body, but it's about men trying to be like women and women trying to be like men because their heart wants it. And just like today, back then they thought they could change the outside, or if they could change the outside, it would change the inside. Homosexuality is a form of gender swapping. Women acting like men is a form of gender swapping. Men acting effeminate is a form of gender swapping. In fact, let's go to this passage again. We looked at it last week and talked about it, but I'll just reiterate. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll just look at verse 9. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites." And I'll stop there, but in the Greek, I think we talked about this last week, but in the original language, the word order is a little bit different. And those last two words in particular, they're closely related. But sodomites are those who give in to their homosexual desires, as did those men of ancient Sodom. And homosexuals are those men who prostitute themselves, men who prostituted themselves to men. Your translation, I think we talked about this, might even use the word effeminate, but they are men who act like women for men. And so this gets very, very confusing. For if men want to act, If men want men to act like women, why don't they just desire a woman? In fact, I know of a woman right now that has transgendered into a man and is now dating a man. That's how deceptive the human heart can be. The world will accept feelings over facts. It will try to redefine gender, and it will try to change the facts. And it is all driven by sin. So let's take a look at a passage that is sometimes used to define what we're seeing in our world today. Defend what we're seeing in our world today. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 27 and 28. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Is this eliminating gender? How do you know? What was that, Mitch? They're one in Christ. This isn't talking about physical or even social or cultural. It's talking about the body. It's talking about spiritual, right? It's talking about spiritual. There is no more male and female. We're all one, the same in Christ spiritually. It's not about physical characteristics. It's about spiritual characteristics, putting on Christ. This is about no one being excluded from God's family after faith in Christ. You see, Greeks by Jewish law couldn't enter certain parts of the Jewish temple. They can only go so far. In fact, there were social boundaries for women in the temple as well. There were social boundaries between masters and slaves. But through faith in Christ, none of those physical or social boundaries affect our spiritual life anymore. We have the exact same access to everything spiritually, and that's what that passage is talking about. We all abide in the same book. And that book says, gender is based on fact. So the biblical response then is to conform to reality. Conform to reality. Abide by this book. How do we do that? Well, we need to trust in the Lord. I don't know who is going to hear this. But I pray that maybe the Lord would use what we've talked about here. I don't want this to be mean toward those people. I mean, we are all sinners. We all come out of darkness. But the Lord is wanting us to, he's calling us into the light. He wants us to see the truth. He wants us to trust in him. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, this word, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So trust in the Lord. That's what we need to do, and that's what we need to communicate to others to do. Meditate on truth. Philippians 4, 8 and 9, he says, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Yeah, I think it goes back to that trusting in the Lord, meditating on that truth, and then be transformed by the truth. Romans 2:12 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then lastly, in response, is walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16 says, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We live in a very, very confusing time right now. There are a lot of people that are very confused even about what truth is. They see it as something that it too is just based in feeling. Everybody has their own truth.
Is this worldwide?
Is what worldwide? The gender identity? You know, I believe that there are probably, oddly enough, some of the countries that are taking the biggest stand against things like that are in Africa now. Yeah. There are some rather, I wouldn't call them godly nations, but there are some nations in Africa that are well-grounded in godly principles. But, you know, the Muslim community obviously doesn't accept any of this either, so we do have that in common with them. But, yeah, it's very widespread for sure. Yeah, I would say that the Western world are those who identify with the Western system, certainly, yeah. And that's where we'll end tonight, but Mindy.
You heard about the Olympics, right, with what they're trying to do?
Well, I know there's a lot of athletics things going on right now concerning this gender identity. But
I just find it amazing that it's, so you're a man, athletically, you know, good in your field, but you believe so badly and you become transgender into
right.
a woman pushing to compete and go to the Olympics.
Right.
And it's
I know there are a lot of female athletes that are very upset about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're starting in high school and college where the transgenders are able to compete. And of course, it's more of the men that have turned transgender into being called a female.
Right.
So they can compete.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And then they get the scholarships over.
Yeah, I read an article recently about the high school competition like that where this guy dominated in the female track.
The Ultimate Fighting, UFC.
Okay. And we lost Mr. Potato Head.
No, they changed their mind.
They changed their mind. Okay, good.
Yeah, they reversed it. Yeah.
All right. But any other thoughts on this tonight, Lori?
I remember years back when my kids were growing up that it was like a fad that went through the high schools with this gender thing, you know? And it was like to get attention or something, you know? And society just started letting it happen more
yeah.
and more.
And that's we talked about that a little bit too with sexual perversion. So much has become so accepted now to the degree that it's not only accepted but it's endorsed and promoted to where those who come out of the closet are brave and heroes. And I mean, truly, who doesn't want to be called brave or a hero? Of course. Yeah.
Anyway, that word is
overused. Lauren.
What I'm surprised is I don't really see this transitioning too much to the animal world. You know, what we call male, female, a lot of animals have gender names, whether it's a rooster or a chicken.
Right.
For instance,
That's great, Lauren. That is great.
Or, you know, in the racetrack, you know, in the racing world, you were to buy a prize stack.
I've been wanting to go elk hunting, but I don't want to draw out for a bull, so I'll just buy a cow tag and shoot a bull and tell him, no, I believe that's a cow. It is crazy, Christy. Yeah.
Transgender, but there are going to be those people that's how they've grown up with this false truth, and they literally see their pregnant. Like, that's
right.
It's crazy.
And I don't. It's hard to know even how to respond. Like with the video about the 6'4" Chinese girl. Okay. A fool.
I know. When you convince yourself and believe, and everyone believes with you, you're creating a new mental disorder.
Yeah, yeah. You, I think you're right. Yeah, so mental disorder.
Maybe they have an opinion of their own. Step up and say it.
The problem is they don't.
No, it's sad. It's sad. And that younger generation with that is like.
The Washington campus was beautiful, though, wasn't it? Did you see the nice white blossom trees? All right. Any other thoughts?
I have one.
Go ahead, Dave.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the Garden of Eden, 10 being Sodom and Gomorrah, where are we falling right now?
You know, we don't get to read a whole bunch about Sodom and Gomorrah. I think we might be a little worse. We might be at 11. we might be at 11. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, one more thing.
Yeah.
So when we have a meeting for Mesquite Christian Academy for next year, please remember what I said about what's starting next year in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
All schools. Because, no, I'm just talking about when we're having the meeting to grow the
right. Parents need to know that. Yeah, for sure.
Parents need to know because they're not. The pandemic this year has actually. Parents haven't been focused on what they've been passing in the state.
No.
For what's happening next year.
All right. Anyone else? This topic got a little discussion going, didn't it? Let's close in prayer. Father, again, thank you for your word. And Lord, we didn't even have to read too many passages tonight to see so clearly just how basic and simple and easy to understand your truth is, the truth is, Lord. Thank you that it's so clear. Lord, we do pray for many that are just very confused about this. Lord, to watch these college students in these videos, Lord, they can plainly see the confusion and foolishness in their statements. Convict them of that, please, Lord. Draw them unto yourself. Make us lights in our community, not argumentative, but lights in our community to those who so desperately need it. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.